Well, I too greet each one of you in Jesus' name and welcome you to continue worshiping with us here this morning. And welcome you to the, as the Bible calls it, the Assembly of the Saints here on the corner of 4th Avenue and 25th Street. Now, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And the verses continue on there. And this morning, we're happy to announce that Kristen Ebersol accepted Christ as her Savior. And we're going to give her an opportunity to share her testimony at this time. Kristen, you may stand up and share that with us. Thank you for that, Kristen. God bless you in this new walk, this new life. And God bless you parents as well in the home. And we'll look forward to more teaching and instruction together. We do plan to start another class here shortly. But we do praise God for the salvation that He has granted to us. And as a congregation, let's remember, brothers and sisters, to pray for her and encourage her on her way, on this walk, this new walk of life for her. God bless you, Kristen. Thank you for sharing. We have another gift this morning, and that is Brother Donald and Sister Linda have arrived back safely from Bangladesh, having spent about 8 days in the country of Bangladesh, ministering to the new believers there. And so we would like to give Donald an opportunity to come forward here to the platform and share what God is doing there, what they have seen and heard and done, and what God is doing, as I already said. Just for some of you all that may not have, don't have an understanding of that, as far as the work in Bangladesh, we've had the privilege as a congregation to be going to the country of Bangladesh for about 8 years, teaching English, ministering to medical needs, and some other training programs, and also some aid programs in building houses after a cyclone. And through those opportunities, God has given us the privilege to share the gospel there. And what Brother Donald's going to share to you this morning is some of the details surrounding that. Brother Donald, come forward and take your time.
We bring you greetings from the Church of Jesus Christ in Bangladesh, which today numbers 6. I also want to thank you for your prayers that have followed us, for our safety and for an understanding of how to share the gospel and teach the gospel and the requirements that do come to become a part of this body of believers. About our safety, I will just say the night we come from Nazipur to Dhaka by night bus, and we were given the front seat, and my wife describes it this way: our bus passed everything that was in front of us. I think the red light said pass me, and we missed everything that was coming the other way. So God was truly with us. It's not a good place to sit. You ought to be halfway back in the bus so you can't see so much. I will also say I thank God that I did not experience jet lag in this trip. I was wide awake, able to sleep at night, and have a very good meeting. In Nazipur, we met with Nassar and Mifta and Aman on Sunday evening and discussed some things about what would happen and about instruction and about baptism. And so we went to bed that night and woke up the next day, and they told us they would be there about 9 o'clock. 10 o'clock come. Finally, 11 o'clock, they all showed up for our meeting. Some was there was a few coming from a distance, just couldn't get there earlier than that. So when we talk about having an all-day meeting, a long session means that we're going to have one good session in the daytime and the rest is going to be fellowship and eating together, just like when we go to the camp meeting. We will have one meeting in the morning and we'll have a small discussion in the afternoon, then we visit in fellowship. That is a meeting over there. Edwin introduced the meeting. There was six people present beside Ahmad, Miftah, and Nassar. Three wanted to be baptized. Ahmad felt they were ready to be baptized. And when we began to teach, I noticed this, that one of the sisters who was an applicant to be baptized was heavily dressed with jewelry. And so the wisdom, how do you go forth, is a very big question. Edwin started the meeting, introduced the meeting about the plan of salvation, all that goes with that. And then I came in to teach from 1 Corinthians 11 about the headship order. The Muslim now needs to take his cap off, uncover his head. The sister veils her head. I explained that we're not talking about covering of the face, but this be removed. The Bible says that our hands, our face, and our feet are those parts of us that are here for service. And in my teaching of this, Asman, who was a man ready to be baptized, he had a daughter that was there, and she raised the question why Lois and Linda are not wearing this jewelry. And I thought it was Edward's responsibility. He said, Donald, you're there, go for it. So between his help at the last minute of pulling verses together, we taught what God wants from a godly woman. And that is that what is to grace her life is not external additions to make you beautiful, but it's that those are all laid aside so that the true Holy Spirit and life can flow forth from your life and be the attraction of love, joy, and peace, and everything a husband would like to have in the house. And then we discussed long hair, the glory, the beauty of the woman. And then I think the one who introduced the subject asked if it was all right, if at home, to be beautiful for her husband, that she could put eyeshadow and lipstick and all these things to really be beautiful in the house. So it come to this point. What does your husband really want to see? The nice, loving wife who has all the kindness and the love and the care and the joy for her husband and her family? Or does he want to see this bedecked, beautiful outward expression? And the conclusion was reached that God wants the beautiful part of the woman to shine forth in the family life. Jewelry, painting, decorating does not belong in the Christian woman's life. Now, this teaching all happens late in the afternoon, and we're going to baptize tomorrow. And we have this lady that has got bracelets on, jewelry, and she's very attentive. She has good answers. She understands everything we're teaching. But is it fair to you girls at the end of a teaching to take all your jewelry off, which is what a girl likes to be beautiful, to be baptized tomorrow? Is this enough time for you to go and make a decision? I just put it out here to you. Can you make a decision in 1 hour's time that I'm willing to lay all of this off that I so love and hold dear for cultural reasons and for personal reasons? And so when we were dismissed for the evening, we talked with Ahmad and said, Ahmad, we realize this teaching is so late in the issue. But we do not feel that we can baptize her with her jewelry on. But we talked about an October meeting, and it is all right with us if she wants some time to think about this and make her decision. And if she decides tonight to lay her jewelry down, we will also baptize her tomorrow. But we want nothing that's by force, only voluntary choice. Have you ever stood beside a dying person? You can almost cry. And my inside really cried for this woman. She was dying to something. We prayed a lot. The meeting is going to be at 6 o'clock for baptism. And the three nun people who are not going to be baptized, Amon did not think maybe should be there. And if we baptize, have this meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning, they'll be sleeping. The problem solved. But at 6 o'clock in the morning, all these folks were awake. And the first person to the meeting was Tara, and she was completely de-jeweled. Her bracelets were gone, her nose piece, her earrings. And she walked in happy. She has made a decision. This is what Jesus is asking of her, and this is what she will do. Now, we had one question that came up in the meeting before this, and that was why when the rich young ruler said to Jesus, what should I do to have eternal life? And Jesus turned around and touched something. And what did he touch? He touched something in this person's life that was extremely important. And you know, he didn't pass the test. His money, his riches, his wealth was worth more than eternal life. At the end of the day, this woman really, really wants to follow Jesus. Not only the next surprise was Asmon's daughter, who's only been learning about Jesus for 2 months, was giving good answers when we were having this instruction in this period. And without even talking to her, she came to the baptism with all of her jewelry gone, not to be baptized. And so Mon helped them to understand they would have to stay here while these three would be here for baptism. And every question that Edwin asked this group back here also said yes. She agreed with every question that was being asked. She was willing to renounce sin. She was willing. And I told Edwin if she would have stepped forward to be baptized, we would have baptized her. She also made the same decision. She was willing to die to something that was really dear and precious to her. And I want to tell you, jewelry is precious to these people over there. So following the baptism, we took a break, and we entered into the communion. And it's not an hour sermon about what all this is about. We went to the verses in the Bible, and Amon read these verses from the Bangla. And from there, we proceeded with communion. Edwin did make this explanation that this meeting we're having, this gathering, this little meal is not that which is to fill the belly, but it is that which we will eat together in symbolism to remember everything that Jesus did for us. And so Edwin explained, we will hold the bread. We all held the bread. We all ate together. Not understanding culture for sure, we used two cups. I shared with the sisters. Edwin shared with the brothers. And then we shared in feet washing. And we brought the meeting to a close. And then we had another break. I guess this is for lunch. And then Clyde comes back and he goes into the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. What do I say really comes out of that? There were 6 very happy souls. The expression on their face, the smiles on their face. And the smile was the smile of submission and reaching out to the resurrection and obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of this, this group has decided to help them to walk in the faith and the belief of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to meet together once a month. And so they are now arranging a time when they will meet as the body of Christ to share the word of Jesus Christ in their life. God bless them. The next day, Clyde goes to a savings meeting where the lady is who laid off all her jewelry. She was part of the savings group, and when she come, the first thing someone, oh, did your husband die? Why? Why? Where's this? And so Amon says to her, why don't you have jewelry? And she says, Jesus says we don't wear jewelry, and I want to follow Jesus. Can we be so committed in obedience that we can die to the things that seem so precious to us so we can live and find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ? That is that meeting. So we come back to Dhaka, and I had arranged for what I called the Charkali group, that I would pay their way there so that they could come and have a special time together. Well, it so happened to be that Protap the Hindu, his back was hurting so bad he couldn't come, and the two people that was in Bordeshaw couldn't come, so in the end we had four. I had Nassar, Saiful, Mustafa, and Arif. But Mustafa had said there was a few people in his life he would like to come, and instead of only having seven, we had a group of 23 people. This many young men showed up from, 220 kilometers away, come to this meeting, some within Dhaka, some outside of Dhaka. And so we're going to have a meeting, and we have a new empty room in our building, and we put mattress on the floor, and we sit 23 men on the floor while Edwin and I taught. I started out the teaching, but this is like a four-hour program, and I'm telling you, an hour into it, I'm thinking, I'm giving, and I'm beginning to get tired after 1 hour. Now, the thing that comes into my life in this teaching is I want to teach about Jesus, but I want to avoid all the conflicting things that happen between the Muslim Jesus and the gospel Jesus. So in this discussion, these good questions come up. But God is only one. Jesus is not the Son of God. God doesn't have a wife. And this one owes a whole list of things. And so that opens up the challenge to teach. The second question that came from the same young man sitting is that the Bible is not true. It's corrupted. True. I need to tell you, you need to answer these questions so that they make sense to them. And one of the things about the Bible being corrupted, I'm just about 15 minutes, about being corrupted is that the Quran had one writer. Our Bible had 44 writers and 66 books. And every writer lived at a different time of life than the next one, so he doesn't always know what God has told this man. But every message builds on the last message to everything of the writers of the Old Testament. Comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Word, who is the Injil, the New Testament. He is complete. And when we were finished with that, this boy back there, he thinks maybe that's right. I used the illustration of H2O in water. This whole group of people doesn't need translator. They are helping each other once in a while. And I try to speak slower. Mustafa says, talk like Arnold. Okay, true. He's very right. He says Arnold can be more simple than you. That's okay. But Arnold isn't here today. I'll try hard. So we have this meeting, and this is a four-hour meeting. It's the only four-hour session we have together. But I promised that I would pay their way there. I would supply the food for them. And my bill went three times bigger than what I had anticipated, what this was going to cost me. So I paid the transportation. But at the end of this meeting, a young man by Sharif comes. Oh, one of our subjects we start off is how to have a clean heart. And Sharif comes to Edwin, taps him on the shoulder. He said, I want a clean heart before I leave the meeting today. About that time, Abu Talib shows up, and he wants to talk with me. And Sufiyah said to Edwin, you're going to have to take Sharif by himself, and I will be with Abu Talib. So Edwin helped this man, maybe he's 24, find peace with his life before we left. I also was told that Mustafa's had invited a girl, and I'm thinking, okay, and she's coming a long ways away, and she's traveling by herself. And her traveling didn't go very fast, and she was not there for the meeting. This girl comes to our apartment at 5 o'clock. I'll tell you how far she come. Do you know where Cox's Bazar is? It's 450 kilometers from Dhaka. It's 100 kilometers below Chittagong. And this girl took a bus by herself and rode the whole way here. We have 1 half hour, 30 minutes. And so I said, if you have come so far, you have come to find a treasure. I said, maybe You're like the Queen of Sheba, who come to see everything Solomon have. And everything that Solomon has to give, I will give you. And so I simply explained who Jesus is, what Jesus is in our life, our advocate, the one through whom we are to believe in to get to heaven, and finished. I gave her a Catawba Makutis. I gave her a 101 Bible story, Muslim version, and she left with an English Bangla New Testament. 1.5 hour. She needs to go because the bus she was going to take, well, she wanted to be there in the morning. The bus she's going to take is going to leave here shortly to go back to Cox's Bazaar. We had very rich meetings. There is many people at the hour of decision. Who is right? Is Muhammad right or is Jesus right? And so my prayer to you all is that please pray that God's Spirit can work in the lives of these people. May God bless you.
Now, there may be some here this morning who heard Donald talking about one particular thing numerous times, and that was this idea of jewelry and some of those thoughts. Where Donald was coming from was the teaching of the Bible, which we endeavor to apply to our lives, and one of the verses in particular that speaks to this issue is found in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So one of the things that we face as believers and followers of the word is how should our Bangladeshi friends apply this to their lives? And so I would like to just move from that. What we heard this morning was that there was a woman or two that was willing to pay the price to become part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ today. And so for us here this morning, we really need to be looking at our own lives and asking that same question. Man, woman, what's the jewelry in my life? I'm not talking about gold or whatever. I'm talking about that thing that stands between us and the kingdom of Christ. And when a person is ready to lay that down, that person is ready to be baptized and brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And that's what was happening there. So we rejoice in that, because God's kingdom is being established and the gospel message is going forward in Bangladesh, and praise the Lord for that. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow here before you this morning. It's a beautiful day. We gather here together in this building. We gather here without fear of authority or being apprehended because of our beliefs. We pray for those who may be living in fear. We pray for those especially there in Nazipur and the towns in between where these men and women come from. And for some of them, they may yet pay for their very lives for this belief. And so we pray that you would strengthen them. But coming back to ourselves, we pray that you would strengthen us, because we live in perilous times. We live in a time of ease and prosperity, and so give us the grace and strength to lay aside and be willing to pay the price to receive the greatest gift of all, eternal life through Jesus Christ. So bless us and keep us, we ask. Bless this remainder of this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I do have some thoughts I'd like to bring. I did switch from a message that I was preparing because I was fearful of Donald's 15 minutes. God bless you, brother. You did just fine. But I thought about, and I would like to try to keep our thoughts concise and wrap up in a timely matter here this morning. I'd like to start, first of all, with this song. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The morning, the message title that I have is The Tie That Binds. That song was running through my mind the last week or two because I've been thinking about this reality that's here before us, and that is some of us have wrestled with it perhaps recently, and some of us may not be thinking about it too much, but this little body of believers here this morning, this assembly of the saints, is about to divide. Let me rephrase that. We're about to multiply. There's a change that is coming. A lot has been done over the last 2 years to bring us to this point. There's no doubt about that. We have discussed many things. We have prayed together. We have sought God's direction, and here we are. Some of you already are making adjustments, buying, moving, selling places, those kinds of things. But this week, we are officially going to meet as a new group here at 4th Avenue. This week, we're going to officially meet as a new group here at 4th Avenue. This week, we plan to have a business meeting, we call it, but it's a meeting where we come together. We plan the new Sunday school year. We assign superintendents for this meeting and trustees and all of the offices that it takes for a church to function, to operate. We plan to do that without 40 of you being here. And in a few weeks, about 40 of you all are going to be getting together in Cumberland, and you're going to begin to do some of the same things in Cumberland, Maryland. And it'll be a new group in Cumberland, Maryland. As I was thinking about this, I couldn't help but reminisce just a little, and so bear with me. I pulled out the old minutes. Brother Lamar handed them to me when he passed off the responsibilities of a pastor here. He handed the minutes of the first organizational meeting we had and so on. And I just looked over that a little. June 6, 2006. Didn't realize it was so long ago. It's just a little over 9 years. There was 8 of us members sat here in this corner. And these two benches, and Brother Lamar and Laban Zimmerman and Brother Steve Ebersole's bishop was here with us, and we organized the church at 4th Avenue on this street. Brother Arnold, were you here? That's right, I have you included in that count. It's 3 couples and two young men, 8 of us. We established membership in this body. This morning, what I'd like to do in this short time is just for us to acknowledge together this change that is upon us and what it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us, dear brothers and sisters, This change is going to cost us here at 4th Avenue our most senior members. You know the aged that we were reading about? Well, the aged in this body are just going to get younger. The most aged, the most senior. This change is going to cost us compassionate moms. It's going to cost us motivated youth. This change is going to cost us fathers of conviction. This change is going to cost us teachers of truth that we have been blessed to have here at 4th Avenue. This change is going to cost us a gifted preacher. And a new but promising deacon. And then I sat at my desk and pondered this last night. Yeah, I had to cry. But you see, brothers and sisters, I wanted to get this message out of the way. Because I don't believe as a group that we should end our work together on this note. This is my message for this morning, and I plan to keep it that. But God has given us, I believe, 7 Sundays together yet. 3 of those are already committed to special services. And I don't know what Brother Keith has to share with us or any of the other ministry, so they should do as they wish. But maybe whoever plans the schedule could fit me in at least for one more message before the end of those 7 weeks. And I'd like to preach a little different message. But this morning, what I've just shared already and what we'd like to look at just a little further is a reality that we must acknowledge. And it's okay to weep. Because the kingdom of God going forth is not to be mourned. It is to be exalted. It is to be promoted. It is to bring praise and rejoicing. But that's another message. Turn with me to Colossians 2. I want to look at 7 verses here this morning, and that's where I plan to take our thoughts from this morning. In the Word of God, Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now, this is Paul writing to the church at Colossia, and I would like to just read these verses and give some commentary to them. And you'll notice in verse 2, well, I'll get to that. I want to read verse 1 first of all. First of all, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, the song that we sang was inspired by this verse 2. The theme verse, Bible verse for the song "Blessed Be the Tie That Bind" comes out of of verse 2. Their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love. Brothers and sisters, I would like to say this morning that our hearts are already comforted because we have been and we are knit together in love. We have been and we are. And this, dear friends, bodes well for the future. Not only for all of us that are here this morning, but for the collective bodies that will gather. This morning, we're not dividing because there's issues, there's personalities, there are difference of beliefs that's driving us apart. That's not the case. This assembly here, this body of Christ, has lived together in peace and love. Praise God. What a foundation for us to move forward on. Sure, we have our share of strong personalities. It's not because we're just sort of all weak-kneed and quite flexible. No, we know how to disagree. We know how to discuss. We know how to wrestle. And I believe that we have. But this congregation has stayed knit together in love. This body has pulled together in love and in submission one to another, which has brought us a unity. And so because of that, Jesus said about those kinds of people, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." It is a proof this morning of our lives in Christ. And so this morning, We are disciples of Christ. Now, this morning we have come together on more. We need to define this love a little bit, because there's a lot of attention being given to love in our society today. But this is a love that comes from and springs from a belief of truth and understanding of God Himself. And that's what guides us. That's what brings us together. And I want to look at some more of that as we move on into these verses. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. All riches. This morning, we are together here. We are being comforted. We are knit together in love because we together have entered into the all riches of God. And these riches, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. I like the way Hebrews 10:22 says it. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That is the basis of our unity, of our love, of our commitment, of our belief. Here it is, the riches, all riches, because we have this full assurance of understanding, this acknowledgement, this understanding of, well, let me just read to you a few other verses. What is it this morning that is bringing us together in love, in obedience to the Word of God? It's because of the work of God in our lives, this full assurance of what God has done through Jesus Christ. I want to read to you just a couple verses and listen closely. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. See, does this sound like all riches? Wait a minute. Listen. But you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And if there's anyone here who doesn't know us or is meeting us for the first time, these verses are true. You see, there is no riches to receive unless there is a place for them to enter into. And the place for them to enter into our lives is when you and I understand that we are these people in and of ourselves. That's who we are. And this is this understanding that is being talked about here in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. We're receiving all riches. And it goes on. So as we understand that, the writer continues on here in Ephesians 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and caused us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, this is these all riches. This is this comfort and being knit together in love that we have this morning. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I know they're familiar verses. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works with God, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This morning, for us, the reason Let me explain it this way. The reason I titled the message as I did, and I'd like to just to itemize these ties that bind. The ties that bind are the love that we have. And the ties that bind is this Christ that we have, this salvation that we have, the neediness that we have recognized, the condemnation that we recognize before a holy God, and the means by which we can become justified, washed, made alive in Christ Jesus. And out of that comes this love. And this willingness to work together as brethren, the ties that bind. So the ties that bind us is the love that we have for one another. The ties that bind us is the riches, this full assurance of understanding, the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and what He has brought to us through Jesus Christ as He becomes our Father. And Christ can become our God becomes our Father through Jesus Christ. And so this morning we praise God because of that. And as we continue on in these verses, in whom, verse 3 says, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We understand that in Christ Jesus are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is true. The possibilities of salvation, the love of God, the mercy of God, the plan of salvation that brings us this eternal salvation is all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And I'd like us, as we look at verses 5-7, to think about these verses as we ourselves would be writing them. I believe that we can do that. This isn't my proclamation to the 40 who are going to leave, and though I be absent in the flesh. But let's think about it as brothers and sisters. Let's think about these verses as coming from myself and writing it to those who are going to be leaving, who are going to be separated from. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Brother Donald, I receive that from you. Can you receive that from me? And we can say that, in other words, I would just like us to think about each other in that way. This is our salutation. This is our confidence in one another. This is who we believe each other to be. This is who we have experienced each other to be. And so we believe upon that basis and upon this foundation and upon this knowledge and assurance that we receive through Jesus Christ and by the grace of God, that will also be our future. And so we can bless one another in that. We can move forward, and we will move forward. We're going to move forward this morning experiencing the emotions of men and women, of mankind. We're going to experience that. But we will move forward together. We will move forward knit together in love. We'll move forward in full assurance of understanding, rich in the treasure and knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. We will move forward with order and steadfastness because of our faith in Christ. We will move forward rooted and raised up by Jesus Christ. And as these verses close out here in verse 7, we will move forward with thanksgiving. These are the blessed ties that bind our hearts in Christian love. Let's kneel together for prayer. Thank you. Our Father in heaven, we fall down here before you this morning. And we thank you, first of all, that you are our Father through Jesus Christ. And we have become sons of God, sons and daughters of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we don't understand all of that. We cannot comprehend that. And yet by faith we receive that into our hearts and into our lives. And so I pray, O God, that you would help us to move forward in full assurance of understanding. I pray that you would give us the grace of love, of unity. I pray that you would give us confidence and assurance of the future. I pray that you would bless each brother and sister that is here. I pray that you would work in our lives and stir us up, O God. I pray that you would sanctify us and cleanse us and renew us, so that we can be all that you desire us to be, so that we can be the sons of God without rebuke, among whom we are to shine as lights in this dark and evil world. And so I pray that you would give us the grace that we need. And I pray, O God, that there would be a heart within us that would desire this grace pouring into our lives. And so give us courage as we move forward. Give us peace and rest together. And I pray that as time moves forward, which it does so quickly, that 10 years from now we can look back and say, that was a blessed time, and God has blessed us richly since then. Go with us, bless us, and keep us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.